Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness apart from works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, that it is unto your name, even the name of your Son, Lord Jesus, we have gathered. So thank you that you have brought us together, though we do not deserve this privilege. Yet, Lord Father, it has been of your love and your mercies that endures forever. We, Lord God, Father, as saints together, have come to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the height, the depth, the length, and to know the love of Christ, and that passes all knowledge. We pray, O Lord, that you'd help us in the meditation of your word to once again ponder this love that has no limits. We praise you, dear Father, Lord, that this is unto us, and that you have loved us when we were not lovable, neither did we love you first. Help us, dear Lord, Father God, to respond in a way that's proportionate to this love, for this is all in which the full law hangs. We pray, dear Lord God, that you would help us, and that our lives would be a sacrifice of love to you. We ask this in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're looking at David this morning. There was something incomplete about Psalm 51 that we would like to complete today. The psalm in itself is incomplete if you were to look at it. It's a psalm that has been poured out of a very broken heart. But yet we don't see an answer to that psalm. What could be the answer to a prayer like that? Where did David find an answer to his deepest woes? Well, some of David's psalm actually has a prayer and it also has an answer. Probably he started writing that song when he was in a trouble. He ended it up when he found deliverance. So the song has a section of supplication as well as deliverance. But that's not Psalm 51. It is through and through just a prayer, and it stops with a prayer. And that's why we ought to ask, how did David come out of it? After committing adultery, murder, and hypocrisy and all kinds of sin, how did David find his footing back again? And importantly, all the things that he actually prayed for, how did he get an answer to it? You see, this is where Paul understands David's plea of Psalm 51 being answered in Psalm 32. Because Paul is in the middle of an argument that says nothing can be given. And that's David's exact plea in Psalm 51. I cannot give anything. I can't give you sacrifices. I can't give you great words of praise. I can't give you evangelistic efforts as a recompense to my sin. What I just have is brokenness that is of no value. And so there is then therefore no greater example to show if God can redeem a person like David in such a state and consequences, then that is what true forgiveness looks like. That without works, not the labor of my hands, not my greater zeal, not my penitent tears, not my even prayer, is going to bring about repentance, is going to bring about deliverance. So if that's how the scriptures have led to help us believe that Psalm 32 is in fact the deliverance, the missing part of Psalm 51, this morning we will consider a few verses from Psalm 32. We read Psalm 32 and verses 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord does not charge his account with iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my vitality was turned unto the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto you, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Psalm 51 is basically encapsulated in verse 5. Psalm 51 is all about David saying, I acknowledge my sin and my iniquity, I'm not going to hide it anymore. And in response to that, God forgave the iniquity of David. But here is something we want to consider this morning. One is not just the repentance of David, but what was his state when he was in sin? And what was the deliverance that God gave this man? Everything in between was Psalm 51, but what was it before he started to repent? And once he had done repenting, once he had prayed that prayer, how did the Lord respond to him? You see, it's in the backdrop of a very horrible past that the deliverance of God becomes beautiful. Simon the Pharisee could not appreciate God's forgiveness, not as much as that harlot who was weeping at the feet of Christ, unto whom more has sinned, more is given, more forgiveness is given, and such will love more. And here is David expounding not just the deliverance that he has gained from the Lord, but he's also reminiscing what was it before it all began. There are four things about sin that we will consider here. One, that sin is hard. Second, that sin is ugly. Third, that sin is heavy. And fourth, that sin is condemnation. And you see all of this coming and boiling down to these few verses that we read. First, let's consider the past of David. In verse 3, he says, I kept silence. Yeah, that was a period of silence for David. It was a period when probably he didn't write as many songs as he always did. He was not as much as a leader of a spiritual leader to Israel as he always was. He was silent. In fact, he was silent to the point where he was not doing what he was supposed to be doing, which was to fight a war. Well, that was the time of his hypocrisy. A span where he knew he had sinned. And probably he thought the best response to sin is to just be silent. Let me not just get engaged. Let me not just be too active. Let me just be low-key. I'm not going to be any more involved. I'm just going to be silent. I think that is the best I can do with my sin. And he split his hair trying to cover up his sin. And once he thought that is done, it was approximately 9 months or more where David lived a life of hypocrisy and double standards. But here's the first thing we want to see. Sin is hard. That silencing ourselves or living an isolated life or covering up our sin does not take away the scourge of sin. Those 9 months would have been the darkest and the most tiresome, most laborious period of David's life. He thought it would be easy with silence, but he says, my bones grew old and it was through my roaring day and night. Like David is in straits. He knows he is sinned and day in and out he's roaring. He's not knowing what to do with his sin. The very fear of others knowing about that sin has brought him into that space where he wants to be silent, but it is not helping him. And those 9 months, he knows he has lost fellowship with the Lord. It is not as it was before. He says, day and night, your hand, he knows the Lord's heavy hand is upon him. And my life, or it says my moisture, or my life, my vitality is being turned into drought. You can just imagine how water being turned into drought, being sucked up. That's how David saw his life going out during that period. He couldn't sleep. His sin bogged him down. His sin made his life extremely hard. His sin made his life extremely heavy. You see how he writes, my bones. He has written about his bones many times. He says, my bones are become old, or its bones essentially stand for strength. He's a man who's losing his strength. In Psalm 51, he says, the broken bones might rejoice, which means that is what his bones really ended up. It became broken. Let's consider one more Psalm, Psalm 38. 38, verse 2. It says, your arrows pierce me, and your hand presses me sore. Imagine if you have made God your enemy and God is piercing you with his arrows. And he's continuously piercing your conscience. He's calling out to you. How uncomfortable would that be? David wanted silence. He wanted peace. He wanted rest. And that's the last thing he got in those 9 months. Well, apart from the fact, even sin affects our physical body. You see in verse 3, he says, there is no soundness in my flesh. Yes, there is no health in my body. Again, he says in verse 7, the last part, there is no soundness in my flesh. He repeats it to show how sin took a toll on his health. And then again, physically speaking of his bones, he says, there is no peace, there is no rest in my bones. He says in verse 4, my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. You see how much sin took a toll on his mental health. Where he's talking of great floods of guilt, of burden overflowing his head. In verse 5, he says, my wounds, obviously he got no physical wounds, but he still says, my wounds stink. Exactly, they stink and they're corrupt. When do wounds stink? A quick question. How come wounds stink, or when do they stink? Infection? Anything else that suggests it's stinking? Septic, yes. Exactly, it takes time. It doesn't stink from day two. You don't treat it, it will stink, it will get septic, it becomes corrupt. And imagine that's what happens to our sin. They become more deep, the wounds become more deep, the more we delay and the more we do not treat it, or the more we do not seek forgiveness. David thought silence is his option. Silence is the way out. But the more he was silent, the more he chose not to ask forgiveness, the more his wounds were stinking and it became more corrupt. The more he tried to cover up, the more into a ditch he became. He got himself into. Finally, he says in verse 8, I am feeble. I am severely broken. I have groaned by reason of the turmoil of my heart. This is when Nathan came to David. You see, in the record of history, we don't read much of what happened in those 9 months. We just see him getting married to Bathsheba. But this was his state physically, mentally, spiritually. Day and night he was groaning. Day by day his bones were becoming broken and weaker. He was losing health, he was losing mental peace, he had nothing, no soundness at all. And so when Nathan told David, you are that man, it didn't take him a split second to realize, yes, that's me. You see, that 9 months literally broke down David, because he was a man after God's own heart. Whatever hypocrisy he was trying to live up to, it was just making it more hard for him. And so from that horrible past, he writes this beautiful Psalm 32, where he says, blessed the joyfulness, the happiness of forgiveness. If you see it carefully in your Bible, it is not blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. It's actually blessed transgression forgiven. Like a point blank statement without any pronouns. Blessedness of transgressions being forgiven, whoever is the person. Blessedness of sin being covered. Blessedness of the man to whom the Lord will not hold him accountable. And blessedness of a spirit in which there is no deceit, no guile. You see, there are four things I mentioned of sin, and those four things are being addressed here. First and foremost, sin is extremely heavy to bear. You see this, all of these four things in the first four chapters of Genesis. When Cain was punished, he actually said, this is too unbearable. I cannot bear this punishment. That was the experience of David in those 9 months, unbearable pain. But when God deals with it, the first thing he does, blessed is the transgressions that are forgiven. The word forgiven actually means bearable or borne away. We associate the word forgiveness with offense, but in its original sense, forgiveness simply means borne away, taken away. Someone has carried the unbearable. And that is the burdens that were lifted at Calvary for David. The burdens have been gone away. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and pain. That's how the hymn writer puts it. My sin and my sorrows, he has borne it to Calvary. All like we as sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid upon him the scourge, the sins of us all. What is unbearable is being borne away. Here is Christ in his body bearing upon himself the sins of us all, of all times, of all people, once and for all. So there is great blessedness that God gives to a sinner that is repentant of all his bojh, all his burdens just being taken away. The second thing, the blessedness of sin being covered. You see, sin is not just heavy, it's also ugly. Again, in Genesis, we see this profoundly, where the first instance, the first effort man made to bring about any restitution was covering up. He couldn't stand his own nakedness. Nakedness is a symbol of what's shameful. Nakedness in itself is not wrong, because that was there before sin. But with sin, the glory has gone away and nakedness is now shameful. Nakedness shows how ugly, how despicable sin is to behold. that if we were to see sin in its truest color, we would really reach out to anything, even it be fig leaves, to cover it up. That if there is any evidence that points to our sinfulness, we will do anything. Even if it was to cost murder, like David, we would do anything to just cover it up. And compared to what David did, now David is enjoying the fact God has covered all of what David has done. That my sin is covered. Brethren, in the New Testament, we actually have a greater joy. It is not just our sins have been covered. For us, our sins have been taken away. In the Old Testament, there was sacrifices of offerings and blood that was offered was just for the sake of covering. It could never take away sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ takes away sin. You see, there's something fundamentally wrong if you are living in a world that is going to glory on something that is shameful. When nakedness, which is supposed to be a matter of shame, is now becoming a matter of glory and pride. And where something is supposed to give a constant reminder of how ugly is our sin, it is no more being seen as something shameful. The world and the ruler of this world will make all efforts to make sin look unheavy, light, as well as beautiful. But it is a sinner in Christ who understands the joy, the happiness of seeing sins being taken away, of sins being carried away. You see, sin is heavy, sin is ugly. We also see sin as condemnation, where blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not condemn, the Lord does not account iniquity. You see this again in Genesis. When Cain murdered Abel, the blood of Abel was crying out for vengeance, is crying out for accountability. And that's the word here, where David is saying, blessed is the person to whom the Lord is not going to hold him accountable for what he did. How great is that blessedness that we could walk into the presence of God after having committed the vilest of all sins and still find God not holding us accountable. And surprise, surprise, this is also the same word of which it is written that God accounted righteousness to Abraham for his faith. That when we are supposed to be held accountable, condemned, judged for our sins, God is accounting us the righteousness of Christ. Lastly, sin is hard. We just saw that. That was how his 9 months of life was. It was hard. Solomon says this in Proverbs 13, that the way of a transgressor is hard. Paul, when he was living that rebellious persecution, living as a persecutor, the Lord caught hold of Saul and said, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Like you are trying to guard a wayward cow and the Lord is pricking Paul, the Lord is pricking David. And those 9 months was extremely hard for him every time he said no. He wanted rest, he wanted peace, and everything was just elusive. We forget the fact that the Lord is also the Lord who was in his anger. He promised that these people will not enter into his rest. That there is no rest for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. And in that horrible mental state, now David enjoys the blessedness, the joyfulness of a spirit in which there is no deceit. There is no guilt. There is no spot in his heart. There is no burdens that his mind bears anymore. The worst of all what he has done is behind him. This is what the Lord gave to David in the Old Testament. This is what the Lord gives to every sinner who comes to him in faith. Sin that is heavy is taken away. Sin that is ugly is carried away. Sin that beckons judgment is not accounted for. Sin that makes life hard is released of all burdens. May God's name be glorified.